IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. There's upwards of $30 trillion in generational wealth ready to be passed down to a younger generation. Money is one thing, but the biggest mistake families make is not transferring knowledge. We'll explore that in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. As Congress returns from Thanksgiving, there are numerous tax and finance items on its to-do list before the end of the year, among them making it easier for small employers to band together to offer 401k-type plans. The House version of that provision would create a new type of universal savings account where money would grow tax-free and could be used for non-retirement purposes. It also features a provision to allow unborn children to be named beneficiaries of tax-advantaged 529 college savings accounts. And Bitcoin's free fall isn't done yet. That's the word from the chief market analyst at Think Markets in the UK. He says after its failed attempt to break above the $4,700 level, Bitcoin is likely to move even lower. And he says the regulatory environment is keeping Bitcoin buyers on the sidelines. Elsewhere, the widespread declines in cryptocurrencies are causing the currency known as Ether to take a beating as well. That's because it's the currency most often distributed when a crypto-related venture pursues an initial coin offering or ICO. Well, now that a large number of fraudulent coins have been eliminated from the system, that's making Ethereum, the company behind Ether, less valuable.
This podcast is brought to you by Harvard Business School Executive Education. Is your family office positioned for growth and success? Gain best practices in family wealth management at the new program, Building a Legacy, Family Office Wealth Management. Learn more at hbs.me/legacy.
By many estimates, millennials are in line to inherit as much as $30 trillion from their elders. But money isn't everything. The intellectual capital and instinct to be fiscally smart with wealth transfer or with their own income and assets is just as important. But are elders transferring enough knowledge to their children? Stephen Lewis is principal and financial advisor at AllianceBernstein, and he's here with us to discuss. So, Stephen, in your research, you've seen that wealthy parents in particular don't always educate their children on how to build and maintain wealth.
No, that's right, JR. And, you know, the question I get oftentimes is how do we give our kids a leg up without giving them two legs up on a couch? And so much of that is about providing education along with the wealth that comes along, and values of the family in addition to that education.
Now, this is the largest transfer of generational wealth on record, and it comes with a lot of responsibility, not just on the part of the parents, but also on the part of the children.
One of the big challenges in this area is how do we get that next generation to have a curiosity, a desire to learn more about where the wealth came from, and take some responsibility to take it upon themselves to take the reins and start dealing with more of the family wealth over time. One of the things that we really were surprising when I went through and did the research is that when you look at the data historically, it shows that of the wealth that is supposed to be transferred in the next few generations, history would suggest that about 70% of that will be lost by the second generation, and 90% will be lost by the third generation. And that's a huge amount of wealth destruction over time. We were able to identify that there were really three things that you can pass on to your heirs. And so often we only talk about the side of it being the wealth or the money. There's really three things. There's the wealth, there's the knowledge of how to build and manage wealth, and it's the family values that go along as the third thing. You need to have a combination of wealth with knowledge and values for it to be more productive than destructive.
You know, many parents just aren't comfortable enough with their own financial knowledge to sit their kids down, so they hire a professional. Is that enough?
I think it's really important to have a professional team that encompasses everything from the tax side to the investment side to the legal side. And the earlier you can start to introduce those professionals to the next generation, the better. And they'll have contacts that they can go to ask questions if the parents aren't comfortable answering those questions. So it's important that the next generation start to build their own relationships with the family's advisors, whether they be the legal, the tax, or the investment side, because the sooner they can start to build those relationships, the sooner they can become comfortable asking questions directly and not always being in the position of having to go to the generation above them to get answers.
Now, you've written that understanding delayed gratification can be a good lesson for children. What did you mean by that?
Research has shown that one of the number one indicators of success in the future is the ability for our next generation, our heirs, to be able to delay gratification. A lot of this research came out in the 1960s with the marshmallow test that Stanford became so famous for. The marshmallow experiment was an experiment in the 1960s where they would put a marshmallow or a cookie or something in front of about a five-year-old child, and they would say, if you don't eat the marshmallow, by the time I come back in about 5 minutes, I'll bring you a second marshmallow. And what they did was they observed them not only that day on whether or not they would eat or not eat the marshmallow. They followed them for years and years into their lives, and they were able to determine that those children that were able to delay gratification, not eat the marshmallow, in their future lives had better SAT scores, better life coping skills, better body mass indexes, and overall more success in life.
And we're told marshmallows and cookies aren't good for us. How dare they?
How dare they say that they're not good for us? It's all a matter of how you eat the marshmallow that makes the difference.
You know, Stephen, in many cases, families aren't dealing with just one child. They have multiple children. And you say that simply splitting up finances isn't enough because of the compounding effect. What is that?
So the compounding effect is the ability to have money last generation after generation when there's more resources asking for the use of that money. So think about how the next generation, after getting married and having kids, tends to be a larger generation than the one before, and then the one after that even larger. So often, families will start breaking money up into small buckets so that each individual person can do what they would like to do with that money. And when they do that small bucket breakup, they lose the efficiencies of scale of the larger investment pool. The families that have been the most successful over time, when you look at the DuPonts, the Pritzkers, some of the most famous families in history, they have run their family money as a business. And they run it with governance, and they run it with a board of advisors, and they keep the money together as much as possible so that they get the investment opportunities, they get the efficiencies of scale, and they get better fee structures and an overall better result for generations to come.
All right. That's great advice for families on how to transfer generational wealth to their children and to the rest of their family. That's Stephen Lewis. He's principal and financial advisor at AllianceBernstein. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.